Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
And welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a wonderful program on tap. So to start the program, we have my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Mark Squires. You know him as the Medicare Whisperer. And Mark, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thank you, Steve. And isn't it nice that I don't whisper on the radio program?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
We'd have to turn the mic way up.
Way up, yes. That would be very annoying.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How has 2025 been so far, Steve?
Very cold.
Very, very cold.
And, yes. Too much snow, and I'm still sore from scooping probably a couple of tons of snow. And I have a snowblower, too. And, I mean, that was in addition to the snowblowers.
Yeah, anyway. I have a snowblower, but the snowblower is about 8 inches tall.
Okay.
And we got about 15, well, yeah. Normal snow was 9 inches and 15-inch drifts, so yep. It was, yeah, my arms hurt.
Yep, and we got just under a foot at my house and then about 3 feet of drifting in certain spots, so that just really stunk out loud.
It did.
But I had all three of my boys out there helping, and we knocked that out. It took us about 3 hours. Four of us took about 3 hours to dig out, so that was rough.
I had me.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Me, myself, and I. And
hire a local neighbor kid and kick him some cash and make him work. So.
Do they do that? I don't think kids do that anymore.
In my neighborhood, we had two or three of them competing. So.
Oh, that'd be cool. I need to move to where you live.
You do. Yeah. Come on out. So, yeah. All right. So if you have Medicare questions, Mark has Medicare answers at 816-399-4871. You can call from anywhere in the country, and they can help you out. 816-399-4871, or visit online at lifewithmedicare.com. And Mark,
Steve,
we're right in the middle of Medicare Advantage open enrollment period.
We are, which is not the same as the annual election period we talked about a couple of months ago. This is the Medicare Advantage, that should tell you what it pertains to, and it's the open enrollment period.
You know, and until I met you, I used to call the other one open enrollment, and you're like, Steve, get that right now. It's the annual election period. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
Yeah,
so
I corrected him on air, and he's still asking me to come back on the show.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it. So well, even us experts make maybe a tiny mistake now and then. So.
Well, an expert merely knows where to go to get the answer to the question
at
hand.
Right.
So you don't have to know everything in your head. I mean,
That's right.
You know, for me, I can't keep hair in my head, so I have lots of room for knowledge. So, well, the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period is the period that starts on January 1st, and it goes through March 31st every year. And the official name is the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. So what? What does that mean? Well, this means that a person who is a member of a Medicare Advantage plan has a one-time, I want to stress that, it's a one-time opportunity to do any of the following. You can disenroll from your Medicare Advantage plan, go back to original Medicare with a prescription drug plan. Or you can disenroll from your Medicare Advantage plan and enroll in a different Medicare Advantage plan. That's it. That's not terribly complicated, but unfortunately, and we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, how the marketing goes with this and how they really mess it up.
Now, when you say one time.
One time.
Is that like a lifetime, one time?
No, one time in that 90-day period.
In that, okay, mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah, real simple. That was a good question.
Okay.
I like that.
Yep.
So we get a lot of phone calls during the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. And the reason we get those is usually the Medicare beneficiary, the person who is receiving benefits from Medicare, suddenly learns that their favorite medical provider, Dr. Knowsmore, is no longer in network.
And Dr. Knowsmore. Well, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. True story. We had an old neighbor. He's an orthopedic surgeon named, and I'm not kidding, Dr. Bonebreak. With that name, he had to grow up to become a an orthopedic surgeon.
I had an orthopedic surgeon years ago after a car wreck whose last name was Zipper.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did not let him operate. That was an omen, Steve. No, yeah. And Dr. Right. Zipper, if you're listening, nothing against you personally.
No, absolutely not.
So you know, you'll find out, you call up and somebody will call up and say, okay, I need to make a doctor's appointment. Well, looking at your insurance, we're no longer in network for that plan. And now it's panic because, I mean, it takes time to train a doctor. I don't mean medical school. I mean for the patient to train a doctor.
Exactly.
And so now we get a phone call. It's like, what can we do? How can you help us? Well, if you find out that you can no longer see your favorite doctor, give us a call. 816-399-4871. All is not lost. There's typically an easy fix for this. We just have to dig in, see what Medicare Advantage plan is the right one for you where your doctor is still in network. Recently, in fourth quarter of 2024, one of the major Medicare Advantage companies cut the contract with Prime Health. So there were a whole lot of providers at Prime Health and people who were on Humana plans, and I'm not dogging Humana, just
right.
The way it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And you know, it's impossible to go out knocking doors. It's against the law to say, hey, are you on Humana? Do you go to this hospital?
Yeah.
But now people are calling us going, hey, I just found out I can't see my doctor at St. Joseph Hospital anymore.
They would have known that if they listened to Senior Care Live in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We talked about it several times.
Yes. Everybody should listen to Senior Care Live.
They should.
And then as soon as this show is over, they should go to Senior Care Consulting and listen to the podcast.
Yep. And the Medicare Whisperer and yes. Senior Care Live and the whole thing.
And go to the YouTube channel and find my videos. Well, anyway, let's get back to this show.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
So, it's an easy fix. You just have 3 months to get it done. Now, and here's the misnomer. Here is the thing that we get so many, I hate the term misinformation because it's overused, but this is misinformation. And that is people get in their mind that during the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period, they can go back to original Medicare and that they have a guaranteed issue period for a Medicare supplement. And that is not true in most cases. In most cases, you can apply for a Medigap policy, but you're still going to have to answer those health questions. Now, there's a couple of, and we'll talk about it here in a few minutes, there's a couple of ways you can get around that if all the planets align. But generally speaking, you're going to have to answer those health questions. And here's what we see is, we experience is the telemarketers are out there. They're not supposed to be calling you, but they are.
Yep.
And they'll pitch a Medicare supplement policy, and they'll do an application at, well, you may not pass the underwriting. You may not pass the health questions, but they're going to do an application anyway. They don't really care. Do the application, get off the phone, move on.
Is it a volume thing?
We'll just
flood the market with, you know, X number of applications, knowing that a certain percentage will go through and they'll make their whatever their quota is.
It is known as SW, SW, SWN. Some will, some won't. So what next?
Oh, wow.
That is how they train these call center people.
Yep.
So one of the things you can do is get a hold of us. If you want to try to make a switch to a supplement, get a hold of us. We'll go over the health questions with you. It's not one size fits all. This one company, one company may be very friendly to a situation you might have. Another company might not be. There are companies out there that if you're taking insulin but you're under 60 units a day, we can still get you through as standard. There are other companies, if you're taking over 40 units of insulin, you're out. They're not going to take you. So go over the health questions with us. Let us learn about you, and then we can go shopping for you.
Well, that's some of the intricate knowledge that you have that, frankly, most people, they're just clueless about this stuff. Yeah. They just don't know.
Yep. Well, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And I'm kind of a fan of doing it the right way. And it's years and years and years of experience. It's as simple as making a phone call, having a conversation about the different types of coverage, and to see what you qualify for. Worst case scenario, if you're not going to pass the health questions, we can still look at Medicare Advantage programs, where your doctor's in network, where you have the right benefits, where if you want to go to a certain hospital, you can go. Let's hope you don't have to go to the hospital, but if you do, you've got the freedom to do that. So that's really what Medicare Advantage open enrollment is about. And the sad thing is, legally, as a Medicare agent broker, I cannot directly market to people. I can't call my clients or we can't call anybody without permission anyway, and start with this, hey, if you're not happy with your Medicare Advantage plan, blah, 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 we can't do that. Yet the television commercials still go on. And unfortunately, the offshore telephone calls are still happening because they're not subject to the same laws that I am. And people will sometimes make that one-time switch and find out it was a really bad deal.
Hmm. And then you're stuck with it for a whole year.
You are. Unless you get a hold of us and, you know, there's a saying is that the young agent knows the rules and the old agent knows the exceptions. And I realize this is radio. You can't see, but I happen to be one of the old guys in this business.
All right. So reach out to Mark Squires. He is the Medicare Whisperer. And coming up next, we're going to get into some really, really important information that you do not want to miss out on. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. The Medicare annual election period is the same as the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. Now back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. The Medicare annual election period is the same thing as the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Mark, that was kind of a softball question for our listeners. We're just seeing if they're listening closely or not.
Well, if they listen during the fourth quarter of 2024, they know the answer to this, that it is absolutely not the same thing. Medicare annual election period is October 15th to December 7th, and that's when you can look at the plans that are available for the next year, and you can make as many changes as you want to make. The rule is the last application in at the end of the day on December 7th wins.
Yep, so that's it.
If you really have nothing better to do in your life and you just want to apply for Medicare Advantage plans over and over and over again, you can do that. But the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period, which we're talking about on the show today, that's a totally different ballgame. It's a one and done. If you decide to make a decision, you have one shot to do it. And
one shot per year.
One shot per year.
During that period.
Yep. And that ends on March 31st.
All right. And now this.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
All right. So we're going to be calling this consumer alert. Beware of marketing tactics.
Oh, back to me. You know, we trailed out from that in the last segment, Steve, where we're talking about what brokers can do. And we are prohibited legally from making outbound calls, from trying to target people to have them consider switching their plan during Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. And yet the bad actors continue to do it. All I can say is don't fall for the telephone tricks. Look, promises of free food and over-the-counter items sounds great. Everybody wants something free. But folks, if you've made it to Medicare age and you haven't learned that nothing is free, we need to talk on a different show about some different things. You know, they're going to promise you everything under the moon, but then you find out all of a sudden that maybe you're taking a drug like Mounjaro or Ozempic and it's not covered on your plan. Or maybe you find out that your doctor, as we said earlier, is no longer in your network. Look, folks, falling prey to these tactics could spell disaster. I don't want to scare anybody, but it's a one and done, Steve. If you get on the phone with that telemarketer and you make that change, it can be undone, but it has a lot of work to do it.
And if you don't work with someone like Mark Squires, who does know the exceptions, like you said, the young guys know the rules, the older experienced representatives, they know the exceptions. So if you don't have that resource available to you, then you're probably going to be stuck with that thing for a year. And that could be disastrous financially.
It really could. And remember, like we say all the time, what we're doing here is not about free food. It's not about over-the-counter. It's not about dental. It's about building a shield around your resources and your assets, your money and your stuff that you worked so hard for so long to save and accumulate. If you don't get this part right, one bad medical diagnosis could completely wipe it all out.
Mm. Yeah, that's bad. And so we've talked about these overseas telemarketing efforts. And so they can call whomever they want, say whatever they want. If they affect a change, there's no recourse because they're in another country, I guess.
Well, if they make the outbound call and they will run if you answer the phone, they're going to run you through some qualification questions and they will transfer you to a call center here on U.S. soil.
Okay.
But because that call originated outside of a U.S. territory or the continental United States, none of our FTC or CFPB laws apply at all.
So this is just a loophole. So since it originated there, even though they'll transfer you to someone in the United States, that loophole, why does that exist? And what can be done about that?
I would suggest that you find out who your congressional representative is and who your national senator is from your state and reach out. There is a way to do this. You're not going to talk to the representative, but if you talk to their senior legislative assistant or chief of staff, be kind, be courteous, and just tell them you're really, really concerned about it and you would appreciate it if your elected representative would look into this. Enough people call, it doesn't take a lot. Really doesn't. Honestly, we're across the country on Senior Care Live. I would say that if 200 to 300 of the listeners across the country did that, it would get some attention in Washington, D.C.
Wow. Okay. All right. So regarding the marketing tactics, here's just the bottom line. Don't take the bait.
Proceed with caution. This has been a Consumer Alert, brought to you by Senior Care Live.
All right. So, Mark, you just discovered that your Medicare Advantage plan ended on December the 31st. Obviously, we're past that. So, now what?
Well, now we're not going to talk about Medicare Advantage open enrollment. We're going to talk about what to do if your plan ends and you somehow managed to miss all of the mail you received from that old company.
Yeah.
and you missed all of the social media posts and everything else that went with that.
And you missed Senior Care Live.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah. That's bad. That's bad.
It's bad. It's very bad. I mean, you have two opportunities in Kansas City every weekend to hear this.
And podcasts everywhere.
And podcasts, yes. So all is not lost. Don't give up hope because you have still what's called a special enrollment period that lasts until the end of February, or roughly 63 days, give or take, after your plan ends. So right now, if you were on one of those plans that ended in Kansas City, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City Medicare Advantage and the Aetna Smart Fit. If you are on one of those plans that ended, right now you have Original Medicare. That's what you have. You don't, unless you made a change, you worked with somebody like us, you still have coverage. You still have Original Medicare, which means you're subject to 20% of every outpatient bill. You still have time to make an election. And that's as easy as calling the office, reach out through the website, however you want to do that. But let us dig deeper into your situation. It's not really a difficult problem to fix. Look, if you'll invest about an hour of your time, my team can get you where you need to be. Again, we're going to check your doctors, make sure that, as we said earlier, Dr. Knows More is in network. Make sure that you have the right coverage for you. Now, this has nothing to do with Medicare Supplement or Medigap. It has everything to do with Medicare Advantage. But across the country, and I don't remember the statistic, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it with me, there's a great number of Medicare Advantage plans that just ended on December 31st.
They just bailed out and said, no, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you may not have coverage. It's a good time to give us a call. Let us do a review.
All right. So worst case scenario, you didn't open the massive amount of mail that you probably received from the company. You didn't hear about it. You didn't read about it. You didn't hear about it on the radio program or podcast. And all of a sudden, you are shocked to find out that Medicare Advantage plan, it no longer exists. Worst case scenario, you still have traditional Medicare Part A.
You do. And B.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You're fine. I mean, you still have coverage. It's just a different from different kind of coverage what you're used to.
And you're subject to that 20%, which could be huge. Mm-hmm.
It really could be. I mean, I don't want to scare anybody, but I like easy math. $500,000 cancer claim, which is not unusual. That's $100,000 out of your pocket.
Boom, right there.
So time to give us a call.
If you have questions about this, if this is resonating with you, getting your attention, Mark Squires, he is the Medicare Whisperer at 816-399-4871 or online at lifewithmedicare.com. And we'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, visit SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're going to shift gears here and welcome Mr. David Wiley. He's the president and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and another guest in studio, Heather Murphy. She's the director of quality and regulatory compliance, again, with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David and Heather, happy new year and welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
All right. And boy, it got a little cold, didn't it? I think I'm still tired from shoveling snow. So
for sure.
Anyway, at the end of the year, we all learned the news that former President Jimmy Carter had passed away. And it seems that every single story about him this week and for the past couple of years has mentioned hospice care. So, David, I'd like to start off today by asking you to share with our listeners a bit about what some are calling the Carter effect.
All right. Thank you, Steve. So good to be here and talk about this today. You know, you're right. A lot of people think that hospice care is only for the very end of life, someone who's on the brink of death. And President Carter's longevity of hospice did a lot to dispel that. Hospice care is often appropriate for the last months of someone's life rather than just days of life. And in fact, people receiving hospice care for certain cancers or heart failure live an average of 29 days, nearly an entire month, longer than those who didn't, according to researchers at the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. We understand that stopping curative treatment is difficult and may feel like choosing between quantity or quality of life, but hospice steps in and fills in a person's final days or years, in President Carter's case. One important factor to remember is that hospice care is for the patient and can help facilitate closure for one's family members. One of the valuable mandates of the hospice benefit is to provide at least 13 months of bereavement care following the death of the loved one. It will probably make sense to you that one study from the Journal of Palliative Medicine published in 2017 suggests that hospice care's closer monitoring, symptoms management, social support may explain why some hospice patients actually live longer. And I do think that you should know, even though a patient is on hospice care, we often do address readily reversible problems, including infections. And for heart problems, patients often continue their cardiac medications.
Well, and that makes sense. And I'll say 29 days, every day counts.
Yes.
I mean, that's 29 days. What a huge gift that is. So is that considered palliative care then, David?
You know, palliative care is also referred to as supportive care or comfort care, and hospice is one type of palliative care. Kansas City Hospice also provides a community-based palliative care program, which is similar to hospice but different in that it provides specialized comfort care to those who do not yet need hospice care or are not choosing hospice care. What's very important is that we support each person's choice to make this decision. The purpose of palliative care is to manage uncomfortable symptoms related to a serious disease or its treatment, such as pain or shortness of breath. Our community-based palliative care program provides expert advice and supportive care to people with many different advanced chronic diseases. The primary goal of palliative care is to optimize quality of life for people coping with serious health challenges. Palliative care as a service is offered alongside curative or other treatments a person may be receiving, and if eventually they choose hospice care, then they can move on to that service.
Okay, so if I understand you right, palliative care is tailored to each person's needs, and so it looks a little different for each individual. Is that right?
You know, I'm going to ask Heather, again, you mentioned she's our Director of Quality and Regulatory Compliance, to weigh in on this. She's a registered nurse for more than 30 years, and she's been with Kansas City Hospice for more than 14 years. So, Heather?
Excellent. And register. I'm a fan of RNs. My wife is an RN, so RNs are good people. I'll say that.
Thank you. It's a little shocking to hear 30 years, but that's about right, I guess. And yes, thank you for having us today, Steve. To your question about palliative care, a palliative care plan might include one or more of the following goals: symptom management, such as David said, for pain or shortness of breath; easing the side effects from treatment, such as fatigue or nausea; helping the family and the patient to find strategies to adapt to physical and life changes that accompany serious illness; helping them cope with feelings of depression, anxiety, or even grief; identifying and accessing resources to support patients throughout their illness; and helping to make decisions that align with each patient's values and goals.
Okay, so would it be accurate to say that hospice care is actually a form of palliative care, maybe just more defined to address a certain period in a person's life?
Absolutely. Hospice care is also palliative care, meaning its purpose is to help manage uncomfortable symptoms and optimize quality of life. Because the term palliative care hasn't been officially defined, it can have different meanings from one provider to the next. Hospice, on the other hand, is always going to have certain things included because Medicare guidelines mandate it. That's not to say that all hospice providers are alike. There are definite differences between hospice providers, but overall, we all must meet the minimum guidelines that Medicare sets forth.
Okay, and I've read that President Carter was a proponent of hospice from the very beginning. Is that right, David?
You know, Steve, absolutely yes. You know, hospice is indelible to Carter's legacy as president. The federal payment model that led to the founding of the Medicare hospice benefit actually began during his tenure in the White House. They launched hospice with 26 providers in 16 states back in 1979, and now there are more than 5,700 Medicare-certified hospices in our country. Just about 20% are nonprofit, like Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and we've been providing this great care since November 3rd, 1980.
Long time.
Long time.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me more about that. What is it? What does being a nonprofit hospice mean as compared to a for-profit hospice provider?
Sure. First of all, let's talk in Missouri. Of the 129 Medicare-certified hospices, only 22 are nonprofit. Operationally, in healthcare in general, for any industry, actually, being a nonprofit means that your fiduciary responsibility is to your beneficiaries, your clients, the community, or the people who directly benefit from your services, rather than to your shareholders, as is the case for a for-profit or a privatized industry. Private corporations have a legal responsibility to distribute their profit margins among their shareholders. Nonprofits still aim to make an operational profit. It's a key to being a financially stable and sustainable provider, but the difference is that the nonprofits invest those same profits back into their programs and services, serving clients and the community. The other key difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit hospice, or healthcare for that matter, is mission focus. Nonprofits are governed in their decision-making by a dedication to mission-based work. Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care's mission is to bring expert care, peace of mind, comfort, guidance, and hope to people affected by serious illness or by grief.
You know, I'm really glad that you pointed out the difference. That was very clear, and it helped to differentiate the two in my mind very, very, very clearly. So I appreciate you doing that. How does that distinction impact the care that people receive?
You know, decision-making for a for-profit hospice and the way in which they deliver programming is guided by a goal and a legal obligation to maximize profits to shareholders compared to, you know, or the things that impact that, you know, are typical business tactics to achieve that, which would be minimizing expenses, selectively serving only patients for whom you believe will be profitable, often referred to as cherry picking. In comparison, nonprofit providers such as Kansas City Hospice are driven by our mission to ensure care is provided to all who need it, regardless of their ability to pay or complexity of care. Nonprofits like Kansas City Hospice also prioritize programming we know have a positive impact on patients and families. These programs might include patient or family support or even extensive grief programs that go above and beyond the minimum regulatory requirements and that are not financially covered by Medicare hospice reimbursement.
Okay, and can you tell us more about that? What are some of the unique things Kansas City Hospice is able to provide as a nonprofit?
You know, our organization has, again, since 1980, focused on our mission. We prioritize patient comfort and quality of life over profits. Our number one priority, and everyone in our organization knows it, is to provide top quality care. That means that we provide patient and family services even when the hospice reimbursement doesn't cover the full cost of these services. Generally speaking, this translates into more comprehensive whole person care for the patient and the family. And we're proud to be unique in Kansas City Metro. As an example, we're accredited by the National Institute of Jewish Hospices for more than 20 years, and we honor Veterans Level 4 program. So enhancing our care for these specific populations further, Kansas City Hospice places a priority on ongoing staff training and cultural competencies, trauma-informed care, soul injury, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and other topics ensuring that we can provide the best possible care.
That is excellent. For more information on Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, call 816-363-2600 or visit online at kchospice.org. And we'll have more coming up next. But first, the bonus Senior Care Live question of the week. What are the different ways a hospice provider receives reimbursement for the health care they provide? A, private insurance. B, Medicaid. C, self-pay out-of-pocket. D, care provided without payment, or E, all of the above. What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit seniorcarelive.com. Now back to the bonus Senior Care Live question of the week. What are the different ways a hospice provider receives reimbursement for the health care they provide? A, private insurance. B, Medicaid. C, self-pay out of pocket. D, care provided without payment, or E, all of the above. And the answer is E, all of the above. And David, why is the answer all of the above?
You know, Steve, while many providers may refuse care to patients who don't have a payer source or a personal financial means to afford care, nonprofit hospice providers such as Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care typically provide care to those without financial resources and the ability to pay. It's just part of who we are.
And I want to brag on you. So the listeners didn't hear this, but when we were on break, Heather, you mentioned that you have provided hospice and palliative care or hospice care for a couple of patients that who were homeless. And where did you meet them?
You know, one admission visit was under a viaduct, under a bridge.
Yep.
And then one, a different one, was making arrangements to do our hospice visits at a Dairy Queen because there was no home to go to.
Wow. Yeah. And it's just, and I know you deal with very difficult situations, but God bless you and the entire organization for just taking care of people in our community. That's the bottom line. So that's Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care at 816-363-2600 or online at kchospice.org. And David, before the break, you were sharing some of the ways that Kansas City Hospice, as a nonprofit provider, is able to enhance care for patients and their families. So it really begs the question, does being a nonprofit provider mean you're not able to provide the same level of care or quality of care as a for-profit organization?
You know, Steve, it's quite the opposite, frankly. You know, we pride ourselves, as many other nonprofits do, on providing the highest quality of care available in the market. And we can do this because we prioritize patient care over profit margins. We're also able to do this in a financially sustainable way thanks to our support of our donors and the community who share in our mission and the priority on providing the highest quality care to all of in the community who need it. You know, there's a wealth of research and guidance demonstrating the nonprofit difference in hospice. Families have a choice when it comes to hospice care. What's unfortunate is that not all providers give an equal standard of care, so it's important to research and compare your options.
And what are some of the ways that our listeners can do that, and what should they be looking for?
You know, Consumer Reports advises families to look for the National Alliance for Care at Home's top three indicators of a good hospice, which are 1, nonprofit status, 2, certification by Medicare, and 3, a long record of services. You know, a couple years ago, the National Association for Home Care and Hospice and the Center for Medicare Advocacy announced a new hospice resource with questions consumers should ask to find a good hospice. And this can be found at medicareadvocacy.org. Some of the key questions are, does the hospice offer any additional services beyond those that are required? Does the hospice have a mission statement to share? Does the hospice have any particular philosophy about the types of individuals it does not serve? How does the hospice honor the unique needs of specific populations? So, for example, LGBTQIA, Black, Jewish, Asian, Hispanic, veterans, et cetera. Are there staff available who have education and training in caring for individuals and families of specific populations? And I always encourage families to ask questions to understand how provider values patient choice. There should always be informed choice in care, whether it be to where to receive care or types of care provided, and also frequency of visits. And I would say right now, a critical question is, what is your staffing level at this moment? And are you able to help somebody 24/7? If it's Sunday night at 6 p.m., what is your staffing to be able to take care of your family?
And for example, and that is excellent information. For example, you know, we were talking, you know, off mic that even during this terrible snowstorm and ice and everything else in 0 degree temperatures, you were out. You didn't miss a beat. You took care of all your patients. And that's an excellent effort from the staff and just commitment to that mission.
Thank you, Steve.
So, Heather, is there anything that you'd like to add to what David has already shared about the distinct things a nonprofit like Kansas City Hospice is able to do?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that is important to understand about Kansas City Hospice being a nonprofit is that means it's owned by our Kansas City community. Our staff and leaders, including our volunteer board of directors, live and work here and are committed to caring for our friends and neighbors across the metro. Being local adds another layer of distinction to the way in which we're able to provide care, allowing us to respond to the unique, changing, and emerging needs of this community. It makes us able to use our own patient outcome and family satisfaction data to identify opportunities for improvement and to put action behind it. Being locally led and operated by a local leadership team and board who live right here in Kansas City allows us to achieve significant progress. Once again, the family and caregiver satisfaction surveys show that we are at above the national benchmark on 8 out of 8 measures, at 90% willing to recommend Kansas City Hospice, which is higher than both the national and the Missouri benchmark. We've also seen a reduction in staff turnover to below the national average for most disciplines, which we know positively impacts the patient experience. And then David also mentioned choice in hospice care. One of the ways we prioritize choice is by providing a great range of options in the level of involvement some disciplines have in your care. Some for-profits marginalize certain disciplines such as social work, PT or OT, chaplain care, or grief support. But these disciplines are prioritized by nonprofits like Kansas City Hospice alongside the disciplines who focus on symptom management. If there's a desire for a higher frequency of visits, we can do that. In fact, in a study in 2019 founded by the National Partnership for Healthcare and Hospice Innovation, nonprofits provide 35% more social work visits and twice as many therapy visits as for-profit hospices, including comprehensive grief support, such as counseling and community grief support provided through our local Solace House Center for Grief and Healing, which is just another service that Kansas City Hospice provides to the community.
Excellent, excellent. And David, this leads me to ask, how are you able to do it all? And what, aside from the mission and desire, makes providing such extensive and high quality care even possible?
You know, Steve, I'll just say that the hard work of our teams, they work super hard to maximize productivity and drive efficiencies. So we hire great people. We have amazing volunteers that help us do this work. They help us do things like pet therapy, memory projects, lasting conversations, different grief support programs, our We Honor Veterans program, Celebrating Life programming. Those are just a few. And really, we as a nonprofit, we couldn't do this work without our generous community and our supporters. Philanthropy allows us to really prioritize all of our work. Our donors, our volunteers are just simply amazing. They help us close the gap. They help us provide charity care, which is $420,000 a year for Kansas City Hospice. They help us sustain programs, and they also really help us with our partnership in many different ways.
That is excellent. And for more information, go to the website, kchospice.org. Check out the FAQ section, and it's just so much information available. And again, you can call anytime at 816-363-2600. And David and Heather, thanks so much for being here today. Excellent as always.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.